Hello and welcome to the Mindset Podcast. This is your host, Alex Muir, and in today's special guest episode, we're going to be speaking with Natsune Oki. She's the author of The Game of Self-Domination and the host of Life Up Education TV. She's fully dedicated her life to never-ending learning and is passionate about helping others for success, and her goal is to help people reach their dreams and master their resilience in life. And again, this is the Mindset Podcast, helping you maximize your performance. And please welcome Natsune Oki to the show. And this episode is brought to you by RadioGuestList.com, the number one free radio guest, podcast, and talk show guest expert interview booking service on the internet. Natsune, welcome to the podcast, or should I call you Nana?
Natsune.
Natsune?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Perfect. And how is our audio sounding right there?
Oh, you sound perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Right on. Yeah, no, really good sound quality on your end as well.
Okay.
And are you calling in from Tokyo right now?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. So
where
like,
are you?
I'm from Canada, actually. West Coast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm. So I was looking up your blog and your info there, and it shows that you're Miami born, but Tokyo raised. So how did
I wasn't born in Miami. I was born and raised in Tokyo.
Oh, you were. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And gotcha. I moved to the States for a while.
Gotcha. So how did all that come about? When did that happen?
Oh, yeah. So it happened so basically, looking back, like, I have always been very, like, courageous kid, you know? Like, I have always been, not kid, but courageous person. And the very first, one of the very first sign of me being courageous was that I decided that I wasn't going to stay in Japan, right? Like, I mentioned this very quickly in my bio, but basically I say I was almost kicked out high school student in here in Japan, right? And
right.
That happened because, not because I was a bad student, that was because me being courageous, like, that was my first sign there. And basically at that time, I noticed that I wasn't going to be able to succeed if I stay in Japan.
Right.
I decided to kind of go outside of the country to like fully explore my full potential in the environment where I was allowed to be successful. So that led me to decide to move to America.
I see. So by the sounds of it, it sounds like you felt you were limited or had a limited capacity to reach your potential where you were originally were in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then you felt there was more opportunity for you to find that opportunity immigrating somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And then how did you get into business and economics specifically when you were doing your studies, your education in the US?
So first I didn't know, like, all I knew was, like, once again, like, was that I just wanted to get out of the country and to explore and experience different kind of life. Mm-hmm. So first, like, really the motivation I wasn't clear about what I was going to study. But for the first few years, I decided to study business. And, you know, that was another time where I decided to be courageous, where, you know, a lot of international students, a lot of international friends of mine, like also international students, they would usually set a goal as, you know, graduating a degree in business or whatever, and then get a job at Google, get a job at Microsoft, whatever, right? Like, that was like end goal for all of my friends. But I decided that wasn't the path for me. So mm-hmm. I took a courageous decision once again as an international student who barely spoke English, who didn't even have the complete degree, but still, like, decided to just take some time off from the school to go and explore the real world where I could work and learn from entrepreneurs and innovators, you know, tech startup, in a tech startup environment. So I was very fortunate to meet, you know, people that were entrepreneurs, innovators, next generation thinkers and advisors, investors, right? Like these people. Mm-hmm. And that period really shaped my thought around what kind of person I wanted to be. What, like, I wanted to learn, I wanted to acquire, I guess, thinking skill. I wanted to acquire a thinking skill that is able to think what's needed for the humanity to advance our capability, rather than like focusing on let's get a job at Google, let's get a job at, you know, all these corporations. Mm-hmm. My brain at that time really shaped me to think in a way that I really wanted to be a person of value and then have a life skill to really think through the society in the eyes of like, how can we advance our capability of humanity? So that led me to study economics.
Okay. Yeah. And all of this is tied into your TV show, Life Up Education.
Life Up Education TV, correct.
Yeah. So that makes sense. So that all ties everything together for you of how you transitioned to America, mm-hmm. and why you took the courses that you took and the education that you took. And plus, you know, working for that tech startup, that all, you know, made you full circle of coming back to what you wanted to really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then over time, the reason I decided to pursue the media as a venue is because I noticed that, you know, it all comes down to mindset, you know, like I'm mm-hmm. also an entrepreneur now, like it all comes down to mindset. Like your biggest mental block is mindset, and the biggest thing you can invest is also mindset, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really psychology. So I wanted to create this like a form that is art form and emotionally triggering for people to really unlock the full potential of like our, like a human being.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that a lot of what you've said is exactly what my brand is, and mm-hmm. why I talk to the people that I have on my podcast. Like you were saying, how you said I have a lot of variety on my podcast. That's mm-hmm. because I also want to learn and teach, you know, my listeners mm-hmm. Tools, tactics, routines. You know, what books my guests read. What their morning looks like, what their nightly routine looks like, mm-hmm. what their diets look like, to help optimize physical and mental performance. Mm-hmm. Because I have a background as an athlete, I really relate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I really have a relate to people, mm-hmm. especially athletes. But the beautiful thing about, you know, either whether you're an athlete or an entrepreneur is there's a lot of similarities. The mindset might be different, but there is a lot of similarities of how, you know, the same rules apply, that you have to be very driven. You have to work really hard, but you have to also have a somewhat of a rigorous routine, right? The whole day doesn't have to be rigorous, but the hours that you're putting in the work towards your craft, those have to be really dialed in. So that's mm-hmm. what any guest that I have on, I'm always very intrigued by, you know, what, like you said, the mindset part, because my podcast name is Mindset, like your mind and a bicep, because the way I see it is, you know, you're working your body, you're working your mind, and vice versa. You know, we got to do mental training for brain performance, but we also have to do physical training to keep the brain performing at a high level. So,
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think I went through a few of my questions there for you. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Yeah. And you pretty much went through like how Life Up Education TV started.
Mm-hmm.
So, going back to how you started Life Up Education TV, how did mm-hmm. how did you make those connections with your guests, right? That you had on or that you, wrote about.
In terms of connection, like I have a very specific goal with this media. Basically, I want to talk about how can we advance the level of humanity, like capability of humanity, right? Like I'm a super macro thinker. So I don't romanticize about the idea that I can make a change in this world. I don't think I can, but I can, but like the thing is like, you know, like I'm a macro thinker. Mm-hmm. So I'm more interested in maximizing my contribution throughout my lifetime. Mm-hmm. For however much I can contribute to the world to advance our level.
Right.
So that being said, you know, advancement and expansion always comes from inspiration, comes from creativity and inspiration, right? So with my guest interviews, I usually ask them about like, what are the times of their life where they were able to overcome their hardships, or they were able to really get to the next level regardless of whatever the gravity did that they were facing. That's like a very critical questions that I always ask, because I'm very intrigued by that, like how can we create a mindset, the very strong mindset, strengthening the mentality where we don't let our negativity or the gravity to pull us down, but lays the will to keep going, like to keep raising up, right? Like this is a, mm-hmm. like a hands down, like a very center topic of mine. And I, once again, I think, you know, if you want something enough, if you have that strength, you can make anything possible because you know how to be resourceful. Right. So that's something I ask. And I also talk about processes, like, because I invite guests from different walks of life. Like some of them, for example, would be tech entrepreneur, just because I have such a fascination in technology, mm-hmm. and strong, you know, association with technology. Like I would invite a guest that, like the last one I had was serial tech entrepreneur and also a advisor. And he, I think this is his second company, but basically I asked him like, what is the role of technology in that advancing humanity? You know, another guy I had was very interesting was he's also tech investor and advisor who advise people on biotech food. So he would give out advice for people who are working on artificial food. Like that was really interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, those are the things I talk about. The first one is art part, where I want to know their life story, like, you know, to have them, well, to really get closer to them and get connection with them in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, connecting with them at the humanity level, like at the human level. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I talk about is processes of like what they do, how can what they do as a method contribute to the advancement of humanity.
No, that's really good. So that is your entire why, you know, how to advance yourself in humanity, each and every one of us, to maximize our capabilities. I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. and I bet you ask this question quite a bit, but I'm going to ask you as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of your guests on your podcast and your TV show have probably said, you probably asked them this, how mm-hmm. can someone sustain success once they've earned it through sincere hard work and tenacity?
Yeah. So the way I define success is not one destination. I never mentioned success as a place you can achieve. Mm-hmm. And so in another word, I think that success can never be achieved because it always exists in the future.
Right.
Like you don't look back whatever you already achieved in the past and say, wow, like I'm so inspired. I'm super motivated by whatever I've already achieved, right? Like
right.
you already achieved it.
Like exactly.
There's nothing exciting there anymore. So the key here is that the moment you settle down, the moment you quote unquote retire, like that's the moment you die.
Yeah.
So the key here is like not to be like, okay, so I want to acquire this. I want to get to this point. I want to reach to this status and call it good. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to see the whole thing as experience. You would always have to find the inspiration you want to strive for at all time. Mm-hmm. And then everything and anything that goes with that as a journey is your experience. And that's what you live for.
Right. It's all about the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's really well said. And another thing I hear a lot from really successful entrepreneurs and people that are, masters of their craft is, like you said, about process. They've learned to fall in love with the process, they say a lot. And everything that they do is because they love it, not because they feel they need to do it to, for the financial gain or the, social influence gain or anything like that. It always stems, it comes down to them just wanting to do something really, really bad. And like you said, wanting to make a difference or just being incredibly passionate about an idea.
So, another thing about that is that, like, it doesn't mean that you don't do anything you don't want to do. Like, it means that you, because you have such a desire of wanting something, you kind of gain the ownership around it. Like, whatever comes, you kind of make a peace with, oh, well, like, this is what I got to do. Then I got to do it because I have like a greater motivation of what I want to achieve, the greater sense of my purpose. So that's another thing. And I think another thing is, so it's most likely that you don't wake up excited every morning, right? Like, I mean, at the macro level, you do. But the thing is, in the micro, there's gonna be so many trouble, like so many stress triggers waiting for you every morning. Like, it's not like you wake up early, jump out of the bed, and be like, yay, like,
Yeah, no,
it
that is
doesn't
not
work
the
like
case at all. That's not the case at
that.
all.
But and then it's okay that I think the key once again here is having the very strong sense of self-awareness and what you want. And then once you kind of achieve that level of self-awareness, like you gain the very necessary ownership around whatever the decision or hardships you it comes against you, because at least it's your shit. It's not no one else's shit.
Right. That's really good. I like how you said that. You said, you build ownership. You build your own ownership through that sincere desire to achieve what you want to achieve. Yeah, because,
And
and
things you want
yeah.
always changes too. Like,
Oh yeah, of course.
if the more if that day of like you just draining lasts too many days, that means that maybe you have to self reflect once again of what you want.
Right.
And it's okay if it changes, but you gotta just live like 120% all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just my philosophy.
No, for sure. And I also wanted to mention this question as well. How is everything how everything you're mentioning how everything is your fault when you're a true owner in your life, and how that actually creates peace of mind looking at your failures. So what do you mean by that?
So, this I think back to my previous point of you need to live your life at macro. I don't say that this is optimal for everybody. Once again, like there's no
One size fits all, yeah.
one fits all. But for me specifically, like I'm very macro thinker. So this way of thinking really helps me to keep striving. And what I mean is, if you're not good, like you would fail, right? Like, and that's okay. Like you shouldn't succeed if you're not good. Because there's gonna be even bigger problem that you're gonna get, out of control. Like the problem will be out of control totally, and you're not gonna be able to handle the success and the stress both side comes with that, right? Like with that success. And if you're not ready, like frankly, you shouldn't succeed. And when you think of it like that, meaning like if you suck, you will fail, right? Like if you kind of understand that concept and then really get to the truth of it or get to the reality of it, then you kind of stop focusing on like trying to look good, trying to like fake the win, try to, like you really get to the real point of, okay, well, if I suck, I would fail, so I gotta work on it. Like I gotta be better. I gotta like you kind of stop focusing too much on your competitors. You stop focusing on things that doesn't matter. Like you start focusing on like how can I deliver the bigger value? How can I be better value of myself? Like, how can I develop a skill? How can I, like, you know what I mean?
So no, for sure.
That's what I say. Like, and then you can only get to the point when you are willing to accept all the things that happen to you is under your fault. It's your fault.
Yeah.
Because then
yeah.
you gain control over it.
Yeah. So it's taking complete ownership of your own decisions that you make, your own personal decisions.
Yeah. And then if you suck, you fail. And that's it. Like, yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And that's okay. Like, you gotta, that's why you have to 120%, 150%.
Yeah.
Always make sure you do your best.
No, for sure. For sure. Because when you don't, you're going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really like how you describe yourself as a deep thinker or a macro level thinker. I can really relate. That's one of the reasons why I started this podcast back a while ago. Because certain people that we encounter in our life, they don't know how to think on the macro level. So I find it very hard to relate to those kinds of people because I'm always thinking these big ideas that are larger than life ideas that I'm like, oh, you know, like, you know, what if we try this, or what if we did this, or you know, and they're very out of the box ideas, and they're not ideas that a lot of people would relate to, like the average person would relate to. Cause like, for instance, to give you an example, I would tell my friends, you know, when I was working in banking, I'd be like, I want to get to the point in my career where like I'm in a position and I've learned enough about finance that I can finance my own condo building. Like, I want to buy the whole building. Like, how can I do that? Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just an idea, right? It doesn't mean I'm going to go that direction. But like you said, when you're thinking on the macro level, it's these kind of ideas that might enter your mind. And then another one would be like, well, how can I create a fully automated and running on its own digital business where I have continuous leads flowing into my business every single day because I'm using the internet to create that, you know, I'm using the internet to create my connections with my audience and my podcast to create that bond. So for in the future, they listen to enough of my interviews, they're going to want to get to know me because they're like, you know what? Alex has a little bit of different things that I'm noticing that he's got these different ideas and I can really relate. So it's like, you got to pick your platform and then you've got to go all out on that platform by using your medium, whichever that is. That could be you're a writer, you're a podcaster, you're an actor, an actress, whatever it is, right? So it's like, Gary Vaynerchuk would say, he's like, he's not a writer. He always has ghostwriters write his stuff, but his thing is speaking. He's a very, good speaker. And that's why everything he does is mainly audio or video based. Right. So that's what I find so interesting is like, when you think on the macro level, you either develop a heightened self-awareness or you already have it and you're just trying to fine tune it by the more and more people that are on the same level as you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's super incredible, you know, to meet all my guests and be able to make these, especially international connections with people during this pandemic. I find it to be absolutely incredible. It's just, it's a whole nother level.
Did you have any other person from foreign country?
You know what? I would say you're my second.
Oh, you're my second.
Yeah. I had another gentleman. I believe he was in Amsterdam or Sweden.
Nice.
No, Spain. Sorry, Spain. Yeah. He was in Spain.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But because he wrote, how many books did he write? Yeah. He wrote 11 books.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was travel hopping, like country hopping. Like he doesn't stay in the same country for very long. Because that's how he gets his flow for his writing. So it's super interesting. So I really relate to, you know, to foreigners and people from other countries, because there's just this depth of thinking and this unique thought process. And I'm always very intrigued by, like, you know, how everyone else thinks, right? Because everyone gets so caught up in North America, but where we really should be paying attention to is, you know, Europe and Asia and like how,
Absolutely.
you know, like people just, yeah, everyone gets fascinated by North America, and that, no, that's great. But, you know, like, because especially myself, because I'm from Canada, like I'm always very, very intrigued anytime I see international entrepreneurs, like from Japan, from Spain, from Italy. Like it's just a whole different ball game in different countries, right? Business is different. How people interact is different. So that's why I find it so interesting, because, you know, the same rules don't apply in North America as they do in, let's say, Asia, or, you know, or in Russia. Like the how people conduct business, right? Or how we interact is completely different. So that's why, you know, it's so important for our listeners to know that, like, oh yeah, you know, just because our thought process here, it might be, you know, slightly different, you know, people can still create opportunity, you know, in many different countries and in many different ways. And people need to know that.
Yeah, I find it fascinating too. I mean, diversification, right? Like, I feel
Yeah, yeah.
innovation happens from,
Diversity.
yeah. So
Yeah.
you gotta get in new ideas too, different kind of thinking.
Exactly. And the only way to do that is to visit different people from all walks of life, like you're saying, like on your Life Hub Education TV. And then how, Nana, how can someone own their rejections and failures? Like, I know you already briefly mentioned it, but like when someone's, you know, kind of, let's say, down in the dirt, so to speak, and they're, you know, they're going through the motions, they're taking action, they're executing on their, you know, towards their goals, but they're going through a lot of rejections. Like, how can you develop more tolerance to fear of rejection or fear of failing at something? Like, what would be your
So
recommendation?
the way I usually execute on this is to understand that I don't mean anything to anything. Like, I mean, the person's rejection doesn't come from, like, doesn't come to the fact that I mean something to them. Like, their response, whether it's positive or negative, fully predicated on what they get out of me, right? So
Right,
the
right.
thing is, like, you can't, I really understand that nothing is ever personal. Like, rejections are not about me. Hardships, whatever happening is not about me. Like, it's just the event that's there that I have to work with, navigating through the life, right? So, it's our thinker wanting to attach meaning to whatever the events that's happening to us right now, or for us right now. But in reality, like, if you have a very high emotional intelligence, like, you basically understand, okay, whatever that's happening in front of me right now, whether it's positive or negative, it's never about you. It's just what's happening. And when you understand that there's no success or failure in the events that's happening right in front of you right now, you get to that event with an approach that, well, I mean, this is the reality, and I just got to do whatever that's going to solve this problem instead of dwelling on whatever that's happening to you right now.
Right. Yeah,
Yeah.
because
So,
I yeah. Oh, go ahead.
yeah. So, whenever your thinker trying to jump in to trigger your emotional being to say, oh, I'm such a failure, they don't like me, like, blah, blah, blah. This is a negative thinker that you're creating. And in reality, that is not truth. Like, it's not there. You're creating the talk.
Right,
And
right.
the only truth here, well, I don't know if truth is a good word, but only reality that's happening right now is what's happening right now. And there's no good or bad in that. So when, yeah, you need to acknowledge it to understand that it's not about you.
Right,
Just
yeah.
be realistic and do whatever, like, Yeah, that's my advice.
For sure. No, that's really good advice. Yeah, so don't take it personal, and, you know, roll with the punches as they come to you, and just keep doing the work, and then eventually it'll help, you know, build and cultivate that mental toughness.
You
No, that's
can't
true.
judge yourself. Yeah.
No, exactly. And I feel like, do you feel like most people just they're too hard on themselves? They to the and that's what creates that false you're creating in your mind when you're hard on yourself is you're essentially you're lowering your self-esteem by the negative self-talk, and then you're diminishing your chances of success because it's just that own negative chat with yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's what's happening, I think. And then I think, another thing I want to mention is the reason I say, I don't think I can change the world, but that's because I don't live long enough, right? But still, like, super excited by the idea of like creating something for the future generation and making a life better for the future humanity, right? Like, that's hands down one of my biggest inspirations that I live by. But when I speak like that, I'm also a big advocate on invisible hand. Like, there's this concept from father of economics, Adam Smith, the invisible hand. It's a very famous concept, but basically, that is to say, the government, oh, sorry, the economy is at optimal when there's no government intervention. And I think that same thing can apply in life. And like, as much as I have this intent of wanting to contribute for us, like, to better our life standard, like, as much as I have that desire, I also kind of understand that I can't force changes. I can't force something over other people, right? Like, change
No,
takes time.
it
So
does.
the thing of me is, it's okay that maybe some people still haven't learned how to deal with their own rejections and hardships in life, right? Like, maybe some people are suffering from being too hard on themselves, right? And I, in a very macro level, I kind of make peace with that. I think it's okay that they're that way, but something has to hit in order for them to really want to change. Like, I can't just say, like, you're this way, so you should do that. Like, if it doesn't, if doesn't brought out as a truth to them, like, there's no meaning to them. You know what I mean? Like, it's my truth that I'm speaking out of, and that doesn't have to equal to the truth of them, whatever that is truth for them. So for me, my hope is I would speak out of my truth, and then I would kind of talk out of like what works for me. But I think at the very like high level, at the very macro level, I also kind of understand that maybe some people suffer from the things that I also suffered in the past, and I got to some level of, understanding of how I can work through that. But then maybe some people are stuck out there, and then I can't necessarily tell these people to change the way they are and then have them change,
No,
because
I
that internal motivation always has to come from within, like, of them. And then that's just the journey that they have to go through. Like, they have to find their own truth by going through their journey in their own way. So at some level, sorry, to back to your point, basically what I wanted to say with invisible hand is that as much as I want to help people and I want to show, quote unquote, my way of like how I cope with them in the hope that I can also help these people, I also deploy the same concept of invisible hand in the thinking, in my life's philosophy, where I say, look, I'm not here to live people's life. I'm here to live my life and navigate through my own learning and own progress and growth, but that cannot be forced into other people's life. And that's something that they need to learn by themselves.
Wow, that's very well said. I really like that statement, navigate through your own learning. That's really good. I'm taking so many notes right now.
Oh, amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I feel like the way you've explained it, a lot of people are trying to find the courage to ask that question to people, right? So let's say you're someone that's just finishing university, or you're just finishing high school or whatever, and you're just really not sure like which direction or which path you want to go on. Like when like someone like yourself says on your podcast or your TV show, you know what? Sometimes it just comes down to navigating through your own learning, and eventually you'll find your way as you go. On the, you know, even though it's not always, you know, the most comfortable doing things on the fly, that's just the way life works. So navigating through your own learning and your own, it will help create your own journey. And that's really helpful for people to hear. So really appreciate that statement.
I'm good.
And I like another thing that you mentioned, Natsuneo, is you were talked about how what people, what you are living for is not money.
Yeah.
Now, what do you mean by that statement?
Yeah, no, so that's like back to the beginning statement where I said, like the definition of success can never be achieved, right? Like you're always living for the inspiration. And like for example, if you think about it, what do we want from money? Like comes down to three different things. The first one is I'm gonna go in the random order, but something that I mentioned in my book, basically the first one is insecurity, the second one is luxury, and then the third one is shit. Sorry.
No worries.
Hold on. So the third one is, hold on. But so my point I was gonna say is that the second one, the luxury, what do I mean by that? The luxury is not the material itself. It's the permission for you to feel self-worth, like increase self-worth. And it's also the permission for you to be creative in life and be fun, have fun in life, right? Like that's what you're acquiring with the currency. And when you think of it like that, like really, like what you're living for is not for money, but you want the feeling of what you get out of the money, which is comes with, once again, increased self-worth, which can be created in so many other different forms. And then also, I mean, part of it is, right? And I think I'm just specifically picking up luxury portion because that ties the most with the concept of money, like how one wants to make a lot of money, right? And then the second one, once again, it's a permission to for you to be creative, which you can also do that without having lots of money because, creativity is something you can choose to create. Like if you're an entrepreneur, for example, because I can only talk from the perspective of entrepreneur because this is who I am. But you kind of have to be creative, otherwise you'll die. Like you always have to be innovative. You always have to figure out the way to, come up with new solutions, and you know what I mean? So, in a daily functional way, still, like someone has to be creative in that way, right? Like you don't have to default your experience or expectation of what should be the blueprint of being creative as, for example, like traveling to Paris, like on a weekends, whatever, whatever, like as your permission to be creative, like doing externally luxury thing as, definition of creative, but rather being creative in the form of, daily life even. Like you experience that in a daily life. And there are certain decisions in life that you can take to be in that position of someone who has to be creative, for example, right? And that also fulfills your desire to be creative. So that's something I talk about like let's redefine the definition of success. That's something I talk about in my book because a lot of people would redefine the failure, the definition of failure, which is hands down, like for sure, a needed topic. But at the same time, like I think not too many people are talking about how to redefine the definition of success, which includes money. And that's something I talk about in my book.
Right on. So let's talk a little bit about your book. So this is going to be released on August 27th this month,
Yeah,
and
exactly.
you're doing pre-orders right now. And is it in paperback format and ebook format?
Yeah,
It
it's
is,
gonna
eh?
come out as both.
Very nice. And
Yeah.
again, it's the game of self-domination.
Yep.
So
Do you
we've
like
already I love the name.
the name?
It's you might as well call it like being too hard on yourself. Cuz we've already touched on a lot of deep topics on the macro level. Cuz again, like I was reading some of the comments from the whatchamacallit. Yeah, some of the comments on your book already. And that's what they say. They say it's like, it's very deep thought. It's very practical, right? Because a lot of self-help books, they like to paint this picture, which is sometimes quite a bit of an illusion, right? To draw you in. But then a lot of times what they're missing is more practical principles. But now, although I haven't read your book yet, I can gather enough info from the synopsis, right? And also from some of the comments that it is practical and people can take actionable steps in a process-oriented fashion to make, tiny leaps but big changes in their life.
Right. And then, I call it like I'm building up the habits, and then my end goal is not so that like you make like hundreds of millions of dollars, right? I mean, if that's your goal, like you can. But then the thing is, like, I don't believe in like secret method. I don't believe in like a secret formula of like once again, there's no one size fit all solution. So what I believe in is mindset training. What I believe is like creating mental fitness. That's what I believe in. So by saying the 15 practical steps to master yourself and achieve anything you want, by that, what I mean is I'm laying out 15 different ways, exercises in the order that worked for me to create the full picture of mental transformation. And then what I can promise is creating the mental transformation and creating that mental fitness. But I'm not necessarily pushing my message in a way to say, look, this is the secret formula. If you follow this, you're going to get millionaire tomorrow. You know what I mean? And I don't believe in that. What I believe in is resilience. What I believe in is patience. What I believe in is creating work ethic, dedication, willingness. And then these are the things that's going to be addressed by my book.
Very nice. Very nice. And again, where can our listeners purchase your book? Is it on Amazon, Goodreads, Kindle?
All the places you mentioned, I would recommend my website is probably the best place because you get some extra benefits. So you can find me from lifeupeducationtv.com and then the book also, The Game of Self-Domination at lifeupeducationtv.com. And you can also find it on Amazon, Goodreads, both places.
Very nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure our listeners will really want to take a look at your book because
Good.
again, this podcast is all about mental fitness, mental training, how to develop that mental edge, little bit by little bit by building. Building good habits and learning tools and tactics from, some of my guests on the podcast. So that's awesome. Everyone will love that.
I think at
And
the end of my book, sorry, just to create the one comments there. At the end of my book, I think one of the most important elements when it comes to building a mental like train mental fitness is not to be cynical, right? Like you have to be always willing to work first. Like things won't just happen for you, right? Like you gotta go create it. You gotta go get it. Like you are the one who's gonna have to work in the dirt. So that being said, my book really changes the narrative around adversities and also like really completely changes the story about how to go at adversity, how to go at disappointment, how to conquer your mental strengths to overcome these things like disappointments and rejections, adversities, hardships, the things that people don't want to go through.
That's really good. Yeah, I'm just writing this all down. Again, I'm writing it down not only for me, but also for my fellow listeners, because there's a few of my listeners that know me personally, and definitely I like always like taking lots of notes because there's always at least a few ideas or one to three ideas that I like, I'll be discussing, just in conversation because it just comes up because I remember it from an interview, right? From one of my guests. So I love having that because it's just it's just like when you're having a conversation with someone and you're just throwing in the occasional movie reference in there, right? It's no different. Mm-hmm. But except you're throwing in like lots of deep macro level ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And another question that you had for me was about how to create, more of a question for you that you probably mentioned in your book is how can people create mental transformation in three phases? Like how can they break it down?
Right. So the first phase I talk about is how to create commitment and decisiveness in life, right? And that takes both inspiration and desperation in the form that inspiration to believe in whatever you're dreaming of right now is possible. You got to believe that from bottom of your heart, like, everything about you needs to believe in that. And then the second thing is desperation. You got to be disgusted about your life situation. Like there's no other option but to change is the kind of state you have to be in. Like you're so desperate of changing the situation. So those two things you got to have. So that's going to create you momentum decisiveness. And something that's interesting that I did in my book, actually, I included 70 life up quotes. I quoted 70 life up quotes. But basically, this is a collection of quotes that really helped me to create the mental transformation, specifically the first two phases. So I'm going to give you different quotes you need. Sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Sorry. This, I don't know. So anyway, so, okay, we can start from now once again. The second phase I talk about is how to create resilience and faith in your plan, right? Like once you have the momentum decisiveness, like that's going to only get you going for a moment because this is like a very first initial, enough is enough moment that you're having to create the decisiveness and momentum or the commitment in life. So you kind of gain this ownership of, well, whatever comes, like I'm going to take ownership, complete ownership of my mental transformation. So the second phase now moving into like, how can we be sustainable at this state of, motivation, right? And there I talk about the importance of having a very high sense of self-awareness because you can't fake it. Like you can't fake what you want, right? Like you need to really fully align with your desire and the actions that are caused by you needs to align all together. And then throughout this second chapter, I eventually start talking about how to make shift in the way we think of failure. So completely changing the narrative around failures. Because I think another thing that stops people from trying is also the fact that maybe they try and they fail, they get hurt, and they get super disappointed, and they start creating this all this label of who they are. But in reality, failure is never about a person. Failure is always an event. So we need to really shift that conversation about like failure attaching to you to failure as an event. So we start talking about that from different perspectives. And then the third phase I talk about is how transitioning to third phase, I start talking about why are we really here for, right? Like in life, not in overused way, but once again, like I wanted to really have a deep conversation about what is happiness and what is success, not in overused way, right? Like completely ignoring the definition of the society, completely ignoring the definition of your mom, your family member, whoever it is, like it's so subjected to you, to yourself, right? So I start asking you questions around like, why are you really here? And once again, I start talking about the changing the definition, redefining the success, the definition of success.
Oh, that's incredible. And Nana, I really appreciate your time today on the podcast. That's all the time we got for today. But I definitely want to have you on for another episode in the near future. And really looking forward to your book launch. I'm probably going to have a little looky-loo at your book when it comes out. And I'm actually really into reading on the Kindle. So
Oh,
I might have to get a Kindle version of your book there, because
nice.
I'm really interested in reading more books on psychology and mindset training, because that's what I'm really needing to build myself as well. I've learned some really good tools and tactics, from my guests and just going through life as well, like yourself. And but I'm always eager to learn. I'm always eager to grow, especially on the mindset on the mindset part as well. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners have gained a lot of value from our interview today, and I just want everyone to know, again, our guest today is Natsune Oki, or Nana, and from Tokyo, born and raised in Tokyo, based in Tokyo. And you got your book, The Game of Self-Domination, going to be released August 27th for paperback and Kindle. That's excellent. Right on. And then if anyone wants to see your show episodes, your TV show, Life Up Education TV, or they want to read any of the articles or anything like that from the interviews, just go to your website, right? Awesome. Right on. And is there anything else our listeners should know before we let you go today?
No, I think it basically covered everything I have to say for now. You can also find me on social.
Right on.
Like I'm on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Yeah, pretty
Awesome.
much every places.
Perfect, perfect. And for your Life Up Education TV, do you also post some of the interviews, like, since they might be video based, on your YouTube channel? Yeah. Perfect, perfect. Okay, awesome. Well, I appreciate your time today, Natsune, and I'm looking forward to another future episode with you again.
Yeah, sounds good. Me
Awesome,
too.
and
Thank you.
congratulations on your book, and your book launch, and your upcoming book, The Game of Self-Domination. All
Thank
right,
you.
on. All right, you take care.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right,
Have a
bye for
good
now.
day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
I hope you all enjoyed this special guest series episode brought to you by RadioGuestList.com. Again, this is your host, Alex Muir. And if you'd like to learn more about kind of what I do and this podcast, Mindset Podcast, you can check me out on my social media. I always post all my links of my social media in every episode that I post. And I share all my posts, my podcast posts, on my LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. So you'll be able to check out the podcast links on there. So if you want to connect with me, get to know me, I will be answering messages on there if you have any questions. And again, if you want to hear more episodes like these, or if you have any feedback, please let me know on social media. You can send me a message, or you can, feel free to follow my podcast, and be sure to, keep checking in and see what I'm up to. I really appreciate everyone that listens to my podcast, and hope you guys all enjoy, and see y'all next time. Take care.